Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Mizmor Kaf Bet 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Perhaps one of the most well-known verses in Tanakh. Why is it so well-known? Well, maybe it's because it was quoted by none other than Jesus when he was being crucified. What's interesting is that many people in the world don't know that he was actually quoting King David. He was not making up this line. He was actually quoting it, actually in translation. He was speaking in Aramaic at the time. The first verse of Mizmor Kaf Bet. And the Mizmor starts from that perspective, saying, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Now, this psalm, in contradistinction to the previous ones, which focus on the joy of the king and being supported by God and nation, and as opposed to the following one, Psalm 23, which famously describes the comfort the psalmist feels being guided by God, this psalm, certainly the first half, depicts just the opposite. The feeling of being abandoned, pushed away, and silenced from God. The first 22 verses of the psalm portray someone calling out to God but not receiving a response. That feeling of loss and unworthiness, ridicule and shame. All these emanate from this first section, and let's read. L'manatzeach al ayelet hashachar mizmor l'David. This title, as all titles, is a subject of debate. Some say it relates to some kind of song that they call an ayelet hashachar, and some say it relates to the dawn. In any event, the psalm begins the following verses. Eli, Eli, lama azavtani, rechok mishuati, tivrei shagati. There are several themes in this first soliloquy. The first is that God is very far away and he's not answering me. We find this four times and the word rechok appears each time. Elohi, Elohai, ekra yomam v'lo taneh, v'layla lo dumiali. I call God daily, and I get no answer. And nightly, I keep crying, Al tirchak mimeni ki tzara krova, ki ein ozer. Don't be far away from me. My enemy is too close. V'ata Adonai al tirchak ayaluti le'ezrach husha. And please, you, God, in this first section, he calls directly to God. In fact, 22 verses, he's speaking directly to God. And he's saying, don't be too far away from me. Please come and help me. Now, another theme is that, as opposed to me, others have heard from you and were saved. And it continues, V'ata kadosh yoshev tehilot Yisrael. You, God, are holy, and you sit in the seats of the praise of Israel. Becha batchu avotenu batchu vatifaltemo. They had faith in you, and they were answered. Eilech hazaku v'nimlatu becha batchu v'lo voshu. They cried out and were able to escape. They trusted and were not ashamed. Another section, another theme in the section, is that my life is sad and pathetic. He writes, Anochi tolat velo ish, chepat adam ubsui am. I am a worm, not a man. I'm embarrassed, ashamed. Kol ro'ah yal'iguli, yaftir b'safa yanir rosh. Everyone who sees me makes fun of me. And then he says, "Svavuni parim rabim abirei bashan kitruni." I'm encircled by wild animals, by lions roaring. And he writes, "Kamayim nishpachti." I was spilled like water. Vitpardu kol atzmotai. My bones split. Hayalibi kadonag namas betoch me'ai. My heart melted in my intestines. Yavesh kecheres kochil shani midubak malkochai ulafar mavet tishpeteni. Dry like a pottery shard. My tongue is stuck. Death, dust, you placed me like. Kisvavuni klavim adat mireim hekifuni. Once again, surrounded by dogs and by lions. And I count my broken bones and my enemies look upon me. And they choose to divide my clothing and choose lots to say who will take all of my clothing. Hatsila mecherev nafshi miyad kelev yechidati hoshieni mipi aryeh mikarnei ramim anitani. Save my soul from the sword, from the dogs, from the lions, from the giant bucks. This concentration of the psalmist's woes is not uncommon in Tehillim. He pours out his heart and poetically describes the pathos in his life, the enemies surrounding him, and this unusual psalm, the wild animals encroaching him, as well as the shame and ridicule he experiences through being on the run. It all, however, stems from his inability to have God answer his countless calls, from being rachok mimeni, far away from me. Embedded in this litany of complaints and kvetching is a recognition of what God is or has been to him. In verses 9 through 11, in the middle of this, all the complaints, he says the following. Gol el Adonai yifalteu yatzileu ki chafetz bo. One who puts faith in God will be saved. Saved for he who seeks him. Ki ata gochi mibate. You, after all, have been with me, he is saying to God. Maftichi al shteimi. You've been what, by my side ever since I was with my mother. Alecha hishlachti mirechem batem imi eli ata. When I was from my mother's womb, you've been with me, God. Now, putting all these themes together, David sandwiches his faith in God with his momentary feeling of being removed from God's presence on one hand, and his fears of being encircled by enemies and animals on the other. And this is poetry at work. He's deliberately interspersing his feelings of estrangement with a reminder, perhaps to himself, of his chosen status and God's providence over him. We are left with the general feeling of unease by him, but at the same time a reminder that this is just an aberration. And yet the second section turns a corner as David does not continue to wallow in self-pity and focus only inwards, but begins by stating, I will tell the story of your name to my brothers. Amongst the community, I will praise you. This reminds us a little of Ashrei, known as Psalm 145, whose main focus is on praising God's name. Now, it's interesting here because it seems to be a non sequitur to an otherwise abysmal psalm. What's the transition that all of a sudden he starts speaking God's praise? Perhaps he takes a page out of Yaakov's story. When he dreams of God in the forest and he's all frightened and he's afraid of his actions and afraid that God is not near him. And then he wakes up with a new resolve to accept God and makes a vow that he will do so. This vow motivates Yaakov to change his personality, his attitude, and hopefully his relationship with God from that moment onwards. Perhaps David is doing the same, but in the middle of the psalm, at his nadir, when it seems like not even enemies but wild animals are about to pounce, David finds the resolve to take on a new lease in life. After all, isn't it all in its head? I will tell your name to my brothers. In my community, I will praise you. Yirei Adonai Haliluhu, Kol Zer Yaakov Kabduhu, V'gur Miminu Kol Zer Yisrael. Those who fear God will praise him. Seed of Yaakov will honor him. Ki lo bazav ve lo shikat zanot ani ve lo yistir panav mimenu uvishavo elav shamea. Indeed, when they cry out to him, God does hear. Meitrati lati bekal rav nidarai ashalem neged yirayav. He makes a vow, and I will fulfill that vow to God. And then the psalm concludes the last section. In the last section, by saying, "Yazkiru v'yashuvu el Adonai kol afsi aretz v'yishtachavu lefanecha kol mishpachot goyim." Starts mentioning the nations of the world. Kilach Adonai amlucha moshel b'goyim. God will reign over the nations. Achlu v'yishtachavu kol dishnei aretz lefanav yechru kol yodei afar v'nashol lo chaya. All the people of the lands will bow before him. Zer yavdenu yisupar l'Adonai l'ador yavo v'yagidu tzidkato. In an almost schizophrenic turn, the second half of the psalm makes no mention of the issues plaguing him in the first half. For this reason, some scholars suggest that it was actually two authors of two disparate texts joined together. But it would be much more intriguing for there to be one author, the same psalmist who begins the poem with feelings of abandonment and suffering, is the same one who can change his tenor, shift his focus, and control his destiny. We determine our demeanor. We choose to be the suffering victim or the responsible adherent who looks up to God and vows to fulfill his mission of praising God's name, not only in his community, but beyond. Behold the slow transition that takes place in the second section, with the psalmist first speaking of praising God to his brothers, then to his community, then all of the seed of Yaakov, then all of Zer Yisrael, and the final result is indeed something that happens at the end of days. From verse 27 through the end of the message becomes more universal. The people are not just family, community, tribe, but first it's all who seek him, and then kol afsei aretz, and then kol mishpachot goyim, and then all the goyim, and then kol dishnei aretz. Everyone, zera yavdenu, all the seed, even the next generation, will serve God. They will come and speak of his righteousness, one generation to the next. What begins in such depths turns into a clarion call for all humanity to call out to God and serve him. What changes? The psalmist himself. Perhaps the first 22 verses are therapy for him. Having to laboriously outline all his feelings of despair and his fears, and through that intense experience, he rises up and makes his pledge. And from that pledge, it grows to a realization that God does respond. He listens. He will be there for his nation and for all nations eternally.